Boy, we're pretty excited that this is our 30th year in whatever business this is. Menswear, I keep thinking, or is it carpeting? I know it's a business here somewhere. And I can get it for you cheap, wholesale, you know. You know our tradition. And anyway, we're going to have a contest. Did any of you happen to hear our very first show of What Do You Know from June 1st, 1985, last week? And no one heard it, so there wasn't a point in running it. Oh, you heard it? Yeah. What'd you think?
Sounded good.
Do you think my voice sounded a little odd?
It did sound a lot different, yes.
Yes. A little high? A little high and nonstop. I was high and I never stopped talking. Okay. That's one right. Yeah. Okay. That struck me as odd, too. Everything has descended since, though. So. I'm happy to report in some cases. So anyhow, 30 years, and that was in Vilas Hall there, and Jim sounded great, of course. It's great to hear Jim again, and I sounded just really ridiculous, silly, but we got through it, and pretty much the format is unchanged, except we used to do more visual things, you know. I had a belly dancer on one time, and all you could hear were her coins jingling on the air, but I enjoyed it tremendously, you know.
Bowling, you had bowling.
We bowled there, because it always looked to me like a bowling alley. It was a long...
Yeah. You put some stockings on one time, some pantyhose, I think.
Well,
that was after the show. I'm sorry.
I followed directions on the egg. I thought, well, here's something funny. I don't know. And it said, put on a pair of white gloves in those days. That's what they did, I guess, before they put on their stockings. But I sort of liked the whole idea of it. Anyway, putting on white gloves and stretching on pantyhose out of the egg. It was leg, you know. So I did that. Then I walked in high heels one other time for no particular reason. I had a modeling coach. That's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. And we tap danced on that first show, some tap dancing. So that's, otherwise, it's pretty much exactly the same, which is frightening. Nothing has changed in 30 years. However, the good news is that we are going to have the 30th. We're having a birthday party in June. June 13th will be our big birthday party, our 30th party, and you're all invited. And along the way, we are going to, you know, run some little shows again, bits and pieces. And we are also having the longest listener contest. This is for the person who's physically longest who has listened to our show. So we're talking, I would say, at least 7 feet standing. We're not stretched out. People can be a little longer. Okay, no. And anyway, the longest, the people who listen, and we want it to be sort of continuous, like, you know, so you might have listened in 1985 for 6 months and then quit.
Well,
what?
What if they listened, like...
Sporadically.
What if they listened before, What Do You Know, to your, you know, the previous AM Saturday?
Doesn't count?
No,
okay, just we're not honoring AM Saturday.
No, we're not, no.
No.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Okay. And also High Noon, we're not honoring that, too.
No,
that was that show.
Dare.
We're trying to forget those. We're not honoring anything on WGN either.
No. It's unmentionable.
No, we're not mentioning
that.
We're not honoring that. Or even the breakfast special.
Oh.
We're not honoring that. But I have very fond memories of it. But can't honor everything, you know? Right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Of course, you were 4 years old, and you listened to the show on your way to...
Up in Canada, yeah.
Ballet class.
I did, yeah.
When you were four.
Mm-hmm.
I have to listen to this again.
I didn't get the jokes back then either.
No. Jeez. My daughter Nora's doing this. I don't know what you're talking about. And she said this recently, and she's 21 years old now. So, you know, I've always been good with young people. Because I don't speak down to them. I speak totally around and over them. Anyway... Oh, okay, so now we have little bits and pieces here, and some longest listeners are probably out there right now saying, you know, I've listened to this guy, and I don't know why, just to keep the radio on. I have something in the room, you know. You know, I was speaking, when I was on WGN, people would call and say, you know, WGN is my night light. I leave it on all night, leave it on all day. I never turn it off, you know, unless there's a power failure. And there are probably people who listen, of course, we're only on once a week. So there'd be long periods of radio silence. And then Saturday morning, oh, and then radio silence. And that could be hard on some people. Okay. And then Is this on? I don't know if I'm really ready. I'm not seeing much wave understanding here. This is my career. Okay. Anyhow, here's a little bit that we recorded. It was in Green Bay, and I believe it was 1991, probably, in our first one of our first trips up to Green Bay at the center there, that nice performing arts center they built there in Green Bay. And these guys, there's no particular reason for any of these clips we might be doing in the future, but these are the Sheephead Boys, and it's singular to them. You know, we always say, like, sheep's head, but I think it's sheep head. I think there's just one sheep, one head involved in this card game, and here's that clip. I think you'll like it. Where are the Sheep's Head Boys? We have them here? Down over here? Okay, well, let's go down and say hello to those guys. These are guys worth meeting, I think. Where'd you guys go? Over that side there? Okay, let me just go over and say hello to these guys. These are the Sheep's Head Boys. Legends around here. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
And who are you?
Ralph Matter.
Ralph, you kind of responsible for this group?
Not too much, a little bit.
Yeah, some of them more than others, huh?
Yes.
Responsible for yourself, that's the main thing, right? That's enough of a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about this, Ralph. How do these guys all get together?
How did they get together? Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good question. And we just, yeah. You all get a big cooler full of beer or something and bring it over to our place, and then we get on a wagon with a team of horses and we start riding. And
now, wait a minute. Whoa.
Wait, Sheephead.
This is getting out of hand. What are you guys drinking?
Whatever they bring.
A little brandy in there, I bet. There must be to get clamping.
Once in a while, yes, on a special occasions.
Just on a blue moon, huh? Ralph, I understand getting together. I was with you. You get the cooler. You sit down with the guys, and you start playing Sheep's Head. But when do you get on the wagon with the horses? When did that develop?
When?
Yeah.
Well, about 10 o'clock in the morning.
I guess, Ralph, what I'm getting at here is the origins of this practice.
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The guys were sitting around with the cooler, having a few brewskis, maybe a little brandy if it was a special occasion, and somebody said, let's get a
sheephead.
Let's play sheep's head, okay. Is it sheephead or sheep's head?
Well, take your choice.
You say singular? Just one head?
One hand?
No, not one hand. Obviously, that'd be over in a few minutes. Sheep's head. Two sheeps, at least two sheeps. Okay, but I mean, when did you, who came up with the horse-drawn cart idea?
I did.
So, Ralph, why are you giving me such a hard time? You could have said I came up with this idea.
Well, I did.
Yeah. All right, you did. Now, how does anyone come up with any idea? I mean, that's hard to say, right? But, well, what was your thinking here?
Well, I don't know. I bought a pair of horses for my granddaughter, and she didn't make any use out of them, so I started making some use out of them. I started hitching them up in a wagon, and always got this bunch of people together, and after that, every Thursday, we'd go out for a ride with these horses in the wagon. Yeah.
So how many guys can you fit on the wagon there?
About 15.
About 50,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like on the wagon. Sit down, ma'am. She likes to be included in every conversation. You know?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's not one of your band.
Not that I know of, because you never know.
All right, now, Ralph, I'm going to go over here to, you are?
Andy Whitman.
Andy, explain a little more exactly how this works with 15 guys playing sheep's head in a wagon. Is it a little bumpy to play a hand of cards?
I guess so, but... they know how to do it. I'm a rookie, and I'm just learning how. They take all my money. They own all the farms in the eastern part of the state. And Clarence Whitman and Ralph behind him rode their horses to Green Bay when they were kids. It's like 40 miles one way and then back. Pony Express, they only went 20 miles and changed horses. So there's a real gentleman or...
Clarence, did you play sheep's head in those days, too, while riding?
Not too much.
No.
I'm mostly the driver.
You're mostly the driver?
Yeah.
So you don't get to play?
No, they won't let me play.
get someone else to drive once in a while?
Yeah, we got another driver here.
Yeah. So then do you go back and play?
Well, when we stop for an hour or two, then we play.
You're a driver, you don't drink.
Oh, I see. You don't drink. That's why.
No.
No. You don't want to go off the wagon here, do you? I guess that's where the expression comes from as I think about it. Are you one of these guys, too?
I'm one of these guys, too. Joe Schwalba.
Joe, how are you?
From the same area.
Yeah.
And when we play on the wagon, we each have a big washer so the wind don't blow the cards off.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good.
Big washer?
Big washer. Yeah, maybe an inch and a half around.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have that.
You got to have that.
And there's a bunch of windbags on the wagon, too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they have a little foolish story to tell once in a while. I don't know any, but yeah. Them fellows are good at it.
Yeah, what kind of stories do the guys tell on the wagon?
Always clean.
Oh, it's just one typical. We got a story here. Excuse me for just a second. Yeah, this is what you might hear on the sheep's head wagon.
Did you hear about this older couple at the end of a runway, and they're watching this fellow give rides, and they want to take a ride, and he says to his wife, he said, let's go ask him how much. He said, Jake, we could never afford that. That's too much money. We can't afford that. Well, let's just go ask. He's okay. Went over and asked the pilot how much. He said, $15 each. She said, $15, Jake. It's $15. So they went to the end of the runway, and he went up a couple more times. The pilot came over. He said, you can have a ride if you keep your mouth shut. I have an air show tomorrow. Well, listen to the engine. You open your mouth, it costs you $15 each. So he takes off and he does a triple barrel roll, inside loop, outside loop, hammerhead, flips around seven, lands. He said, Jake, you didn't say a word. You saved $15. He said, I almost said something. On that first triple barrel roll, my wife fell out. But $15 is $15.
That's worth riding on a buckboard right there. Nice to meet all you guys. The Sheep's Head Boys from the wagon, ladies and gentlemen. They ride around playing Sheep's Head on the wagon. Great bunch of guys. Thank you guys for coming. That's Ralph Motter and the boys, Sheephead Boys. And I hope they're still doing it. We're up there in Green Bay and surrounding areas. And, okay, $15 is $15. That joke. That's a good one. So we got a little time here now. We may have some long invertebrate listeners who are out there saying, you know, I could easily win. By the way, whoever is our longest listener could more or less continue. Well, obviously, you can have some years to yourself. But you've got to pick it up again sometime, you know. We're going to fly you in here and feet you and arm you and hands you, and all your extremities will be covered, and have a party for you and give you prizes and put you up in a nice place, or a pretty nice place. A good place. We'll put you in a good place. You'll be in a good place. So anyone here wants to call in who's a long listener and has got a little sort of anecdotal proof of that, how would they do that?
They can call 1-800-942-5669, yeah. Which is also 1-800-HWA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Yeah.
And I guess provide some evidence. What kind of evidence would they
provide?
Well,
it has to be anecdotal unless they have something notarized. Because, what are we going to do, It's anecdotal.
Well, we'll send our crack team of private detectives out to check on it.
We have that?
Yeah. We have security.
Who does that? Jeff?
I think Aubrey does.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think Aubrey could do that.
Yeah, he could do that.
All right. I really think he could. Yeah.
So okay. It's 1-800-942-5669.
So call in or we're sending Aubrey out.
669.
Yeah. That's the number to call. If you are a long-term listener or pretty long or at least more than,
the last 23 minutes.
Yes, or just this is the first time you heard the show. You can just call up and lie for a while. That's pretty easy. Or if you got another joke like that one we just heard, I'd like to hear that. Those guys are great, weren't they? I love those guys.
What is Sheep's Head, anyhow? It's a card game that involves...
Card game.
I couldn't tell you. I don't play it, but I know it is. It's like endemic to Wisconsin. Cribbage and Sheep's Head. Sheep's Head.
And maybe a little euchre thrown in there, too.
Oh, yeah,
and
euchre.
And euchre. That's like the Trinity. Wisconsin Trinity. And Dave's online here now from Ormond Beach, Florida, and he's been listening for how long, Dave?
I was the guy that turned the transmitters on up in Brule and Park Falls the morning of your show.
You were?
Yes, I was. We controlled WHSA Brule from Park Falls at that time.
Yeah.
And I was the guy that Saturday morning, I had the sign-on shift, and I hit the buttons and turned things on up there for everybody up in that northwest corner of the state.
Isn't that funny? And did you have to climb the tower to do that? Is there a switch on the tower top?
No, we had a big, long extension cord.
Did you do the weather thing? In Wisconsin, they used to do the weather from all the stations reporting, like Brule and all these stations, and they'd say what the weather was, which I loved. It was the best thing on the air, actually.
Yeah, that was the weather roundup. No, yeah. They phased that out shortly before I got. I was working for the ECB at that time, and I think they had a little problem with one of the morning guys that was rather colorful on the air, and they said, not so much.
Yeah, when he said it was blanking cold out, what do you think? And that was probably it for the weather roundup, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. Have you listened, though? You just turned it on. Doesn't mean you listened.
Well, I've been listening ever since. I was myself and a bunch of other transmitter operators were unfortunately put out of work by the wonderful computer a number of years ago, and I went on to work for the university system, and through the miracle of the internet, I've been in Florida 12 years now, and through the miracle of the internet, I've been able to listen to you nearly every Saturday down here in Florida.
And have you enjoyed every moment, or?
Well,
okay.
like any long-running show.
Yeah. Well,
so there you go.
Yeah. Hey, Dave. Well, we need, if you want to send that in, an anecdotal evidence. That, like you just told me, and how would they do that, to send in something to qualify for the 30th longest listener contest?
Well, they could send it. He could send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org or by mail to 821 University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
And just get that notarized then, Dave.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
I sure miss going up all those stairs at 821 and in Vilas Hall to pick up the logbooks every morning and wander into your studio.
Yeah. There's an elevator, Dave. Didn't they let you use it?
Well, yeah, they did. I guess we did, but kind of needed the exercise.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
You bet.
And thank you, Mike. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Paul here is in... Paul, I bet you can remember the first time you listened, right, Paul?
I can.
Yeah.
I was out in Montana in my cabin with the radio trying to find anything to listen to. It was in the middle of nowhere at the time, and I could get KGLT, I think it is, out of Billings, Montana.
Yeah, Billings.
If I was careful tuning in. Yeah. And in the fall, when my job in Yellowstone was over, I would be up there in the cabin with nobody but me and the coyotes and the bears and stuff. But it was a wonderful entertainment, and I've been listening to you ever since.
No kidding.
So,
and where are you now? You're in Kent, Ohio now.
I'm in Kent, Ohio now, but I go out to Yellowstone every summer and visit that cabin. That's so wonderful. My wife and I go out there.
She goes with you. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's how I met her, actually.
You met her in the cabin? She was already there when you...
I met her to do with Yellowstone. We were at a local dance place. As a matter of fact, you had the band on your show, the Numbers Band from Kent. And that's where we met. And I got her a job in Yellowstone because I was a personnel manager at that time.
This is a wonderful story. This should be the winning thing. Can you send this all in? Can you send this all in and just put it on a sheet of paper or an email or something?
I'd be delighted to. And where do I send it?
Where does he send it?
If you want to email it, send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org or just send it in the mail at 821 University Avenue. That's 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Michael, and I wish you many, many more years of success. You're wonderfully entertaining. I've seen you several times, and I never miss you. Although last week we were traveling to Georgia, and I thought something was wrong with my radio because you sounded kind of weird, and I guess someone has already mentioned that.
Yeah, I was
That's
using.
What happens when we're young?
I was using helium.
Yeah. Well,
part of it. Okay. Well, thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Great. Bye-bye. Great to talk to you. All right, Krista's on the line from Galena, Missouri, or Missouri. Do you say Missouri. Or Missouri?
Missouri.
You do. Okay, that's good. How are you, Krista?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And have you been listening for quite some time?
I've been listening for a long time, yeah. And I saw you the first time you came to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
And you were in Carrington Hall, but it was such a small venue that some of us had to sit outside, but they piped it outside.
Yeah.
And then you came out, and I met you. And so I was listening before that. I'm not sure. It was in the early 80s.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure we're going to rerun that show, actually, the first one from Springfield, yeah, because it was such a fun time.
Well, and I've seen you every time you've come to Springfield.
Yeah. So. Well, that alone should be worth something.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember sitting out there in the corral area, and they piped it out to the audience out there. So
they had you in a corral. That's kind of upsetting. I wish.
Well,
I'm glad I didn't know about it.
The area.
Yeah.
Outside Carrington.
Yeah.
When you came one time, my mom sent you a book that she wrote, mm-hmm. And it kind of tells about the area. And we thought maybe that you would read that and interview us while we were in the audience.
And I didn't, huh?
And you didn't.
Oh boy. So there's some bad memories too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I have the book somewhere, so I have piles of books that I probably should have read.
Well, this one's called A Hammer and Some Nails.
A Hammer and Some Nails?
Mm-hmm. My mom and I built a house, and then she wrote a book about it.
Oh, that should have, yeah, I'm sorry to get to that, but you were out in the corral anyhow. How would I find it?
That's right.
Well, that's fantastic. So, and you stayed in the area?
Yeah, we still live here.
Yeah.
I work at, they call it Missouri State University. It was Southwest Missouri State.
Right.
When you were there.
Yeah.
But it's Missouri State University now.
Yeah. Arlen Diamond, my old friend, was.
That's right.
The head of broadcasting, anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's great. It's really great to hear from you, Krista. Okay. And if you put some of this in a little note or an email or something, send it to us. You know how to do that?
I sure will.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. We got Alex on the line from Columbus, Ohio, and we've been to Columbus many times.
Hello, Michael.
How are
you? Thanks for running through all these years, and have a happy new year.
Well, thank you. You too. How are you doing?
All right. I'm working on some online writing right now.
Yeah.
I've been listening since the early 90s, and I was in a cabin, too, in rural Ohio. I had the opportunity to watch somebody's property for about 15 years, and it was like having my own state park.
Oh,
wow. And on the Saturdays, I'd listen to the radio, and I'd pull you in on either OSU or WCBE.
Right.
But what I remember, an old gag that you used to run in those days was when you ran the quiz and the people got three answers right and they went for the big prize package, you called it the whole can of cornea.
Oh, yeah, the cornucopia.
The can of cornea. Yeah.
Can of cornea, yeah. Being me, I would say that.
I just wanted to bring that gag back out after a few
years. Yeah. I'm actually dyslexic, so you shouldn't be laughing. That's how I say cornucopia.
Anyway, thanks for running the show, man. I'm listening.
Thank you. And if you want to send in your little story or send it in to us while you're doing your writing or after you finish this, I'm sure you're in something right now. You know how to do that?
I can drop you an email. I emailed you a couple of years ago with that guacamole parody of Walk This Way. I'm the guy that did that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, actually. It was good.
All right. Well, take care, Mike. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
Okay. Bye.
Nice talking to you. David's online from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, David.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Pretty good. You don't seem old enough to have listened very long, David.
Well, I actually am much younger than I sound. Or I'm much older than I sound.
One of the two. Or both.
One of the two.
When you reach a certain age, it's
so
both.
So I've been listening to you since the early 90s, and I'm sorry that we missed you when you were at Otterbein.
Yeah.
We really loved to see you there.
It was a fun time.
It's one of those things where the girls would come down from upstairs in the morning, and they would hear your voice, and they would go, oh, we know what's going on. It's What Do You Know?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
The girls, no, your daughters?
Yes, they're my daughters.
Yeah, my daughters had a different reaction.
Yeah, I remember hearing a couple of, quit talking like that, will you?
Yeah. And any amusing anecdotes besides the girls coming down the stairs that you could put in your entry?
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did every Saturday morning was that I would go out and get bagels from Giant Eagle and come home, and those would be popping out of the toaster about the same time that your first quiz would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would always time it for that so that I could just sit down and listen to it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a prize winner, but the bagel.
No, you know, I tell you what, the guy who was on just before the woman who was just on is the prize winner.
The guy in the cabin in Montana?
Yeah, that's going to be
tough to beat. I do know that women usually, sometimes men, would always tell me that when the band played, that's when they'd put in the fabric softener for many years. Yes. John's going to do it right now with me.
You have a wonderful band. It's wonderful to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, thank you on their behalf.
Yeah.
Thank you on your behalf. Okay.
All right, man.
All right.
Good hearing your show.
Thank you, David. Nice to talk with you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Keith's in Green Bay. Hey, Keith.
Good morning.
You know the Modders? You know Ralph Modder? By any chance?
I know some Modders, but I don't know if I know Ralph.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's still around anymore either.
Well,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But...
Yeah. But when you were first on about 30 years ago, I remember when my family and I were going to a family reunion.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time that we had taken the children.
Yeah.
My daughter was only 3, and my wife was pregnant with our second. So it was a trip from Milwaukee out to Gay's Mills, out west of Madison.
Sure.
And I couldn't find anything on the radio except you.
Oh, dear. That's a bad thing.
Well, I don't know. I think it was probably a good thing because from that time on, any time the children and I were in the car, we always listened to you over sometimes their objections.
I'm sure.
Well, you know, they were kids.
Yeah. No, I got a lot of the objections, believe me.
Yeah. Well, I think it stuck because my daughter grew up and now she's an Emmy-winning news producer in St. Paul. So I think some of it kind of rubbed off the quizzes and stuff. We'd always try to see if we could beat each other on the quizzes and get a lot of fun out of being in the car together and listening to you on Saturday morning. So.
So you're arguing there's a positive social influence of the What Do You Know?
Oh yeah,
movement.
Despite what they want to listen to, I wouldn't let them listen to the popular music because
of the day. It was pretty bad anyway.
Of the day because public radio comes out of my hand. Yeah. My old dead hand when I'm driving the car.
Wake me up before you go and all that sort of thing.
A song that has 6 words in it, it's not worth listening to.
Too many. It's too many. Thanks, Keith, so much. Nice talking to you. Get that story
into us.
Thank you all for calling in and joining us on this first episode here of Who's Listened the Darn Longest to This Guy?